Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O King of the Earth, it has been decided by expert learned scholars that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is residing, and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. Purport. Whenever we perform some religious act in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, we must perform it according to time, place, and person, kala, desha, patra. Narada Muni has already described the desha, place, and kala, time. The kala has been described in verses 20 through 24, beginning with the words, ayane vishuve kriyad vyapi pate dina chaye. And the places for giving charity or performing ritualistic ceremonies have been described in verses 30 through 33, beginning with sarangshi pushkaradini chetrani arhashritani utta. Now, to whom everything must be given, is decided in this verse, harir evaika urvishayan mayang vai chiracharam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the root of everything, and therefore He is the bet, patra, or person to whom everything must be given. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29 it is said, bhaktaram jagatapasam saravaloka maheshvaram suhridang sarvabhutanam gyatvamang shantam richati. If one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, he should give everything to Krishna, who is the real enjoyer, real friend, and real proprietor. It is therefore said, yatattara mula nishechanena tribyanti tatskanda bujo pashaka prano paharachchu yatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achuteja. Bhagavatam 4:31-14. By worshipping or satisfying Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one can satisfy everyone. Just as one can water the branches, leaves, and flowers of a tree simply by watering its root, or as one satisfies all the senses of the body by giving food to the stomach. Therefore, a devotee simply offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to receive the best results of charity, religious performances, sense gratification, and even liberation, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana ragana tanvita dam sajiva sadaita zavaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, they say that because Krishna is transcendental to all material qualities, therefore he has no qualities. This is called Mayavadi philosophy. But they do not understand that if there is a reflection of something, there must be that original something. You cannot get the reflection of something unless the original something is there. Therefore, since this material world is full of qualities and is simply a reflection of the Supreme, therefore the Supreme must be full of qualities. Therefore, since the persons are here in this world, personality must exist in the Supreme. You can't get persons from imperson. Can you extract gold from a goldless gold mine? Is that possible? Have you ever tried, just take a goldless gold mine and try to get gold out of it? You will never be able to do that. If you're getting gold from the mine must have gold. So that existential mine from which all persons are coming, I'm a person, you're a person, that existential mine from which everything is coming, it must possess personality. So this ridiculous idea that the Supreme is impersonal, is formless, it has to be refuted very strongly, you see. Very, very strongly it has to be refuted. With all logic, with all intelligence, and with bhakti, you see. It must be refuted. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pushchacha Tadine. Prabhupada has come for this purpose, to defeat this Mayavadi philosophy to the Western countries. Pushchacha Desha, the Western countries, delivering Tadine. From what? Nirvishesha Shunyavari. So we are the servants of Prabhupada. We have to carry on his mission and defeat this impersonal philosophy. That the Supreme is without qualities. The Supreme has no personality. The Supreme has no form. We must defeat. But they say, but this is what Shankara says. He's a great Acharya. How you can refute Shankara? That's aparad, guru aparad. You're negating Shankara. That's a great offense. They can argue like that, you see. But we have to understand why Shankara was, why Shankaracharya was preaching like that. A little study of the philosophical evolution of India makes it very clear, you see. When Krishna was here, Krishna Bhakti was going on very nicely. But when Kali Yuga came, then everything fell apart. It fell apart so much so that the people of India were taking the scriptural descriptions of the Treta Yuga, how the Brahmanas were offering cows in sacrifice, as an excuse for cow killing. See, the Brahmins were doing it. Cow killing is Vedic. Is it? But actually, Prabhupada explains, it was not cow killing. It was cow rejuvenation. They would take an old cow, put the old cow into the sacrificial fire with mantras chanted by the expert brahmanas, and that a young calf would come out. Now, if we could do such yagas here today with human beings, the whole world would immediately come, you see. Oh, rejuvenation. Hare Krishna has discovered the fountain of youth. You see. Come to the yajna as an old person, you come out as a teenager, you see. So the Brahmins, they had such power in that time, you see. In this age, there are no qualified Brahmins who can chant such mantras. Therefore, in this age, there's only one yajna which is allowed, that is the Sankirtan yajna. Even if we don't pronounce it perfectly, still it is accepted by Krishna. I remember one time in Vrindavan, I was on the bus going on Parikrama with a bunch of devotees from Mexico. And they were doing a little kirtan. Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath, Yaya Yaganath. They don't have the J sound in Spanish, you see. So was Jagannath offended? I don't think so. Because they would love, you see. So, this age we have the Sankirtan Yajna. And even if we're not perfectly expert brahmanas who can utter the Vedic mantras without even the slightest deviation. Actually, Prabhupada tried to get Jayanandan to chant the Gayatri mantra. Prabhupada tried to coach him, our famous Jayanandan, Ratha Yatra Jayanandan. He tried to train him out of, he just couldn't do it. Prabhupada gave up. But he was a great saint in spite of that, you see. Couldn't chant the Sanskrit perfectly. So anyway, they were taking, back to the history of India, they were philosophical evolution of India. They were taking the description of cow sacrifice done in the Treta Yuga as an excuse for cow killing. Therefore, Lord Krishna being very, very compassionate upon these poor cows appeared as Lord Buddha. And said, why are you following the Vedas? There's no God. Why are you following Vedas? Just follow me. I'm teaching you that if you hurt someone, you will be hurt. Karma. You should therefore practice ahimsa, non-violence. So Buddha was successful. He taught an atheistic, voidistic philosophy. And he taught the principle of don't cause suffering to others, because then you will suffer in return. And he was able to stop the cow killing. But now, and now we have a problem. There's no Vedic culture left in India. No one wants to read the Vedas anymore. There's no Varnashram system. The whole thing was completely destroyed by Buddha. So what to do? So then Krishna instructed Lord Shiva, you appear as a Brahmana and with expert grammatical word jugglery, you take the Vedas and present them in a way that will be attractive to the Buddhists. Then bring them back to Vedic culture in this way. So Shankaracharya, he did that, very expertly juggling the grammar in the Vedanta Sutra especially. He established this impersonal conception that the Lord, there is the Supreme, that Supreme is impersonal, that Supreme is formless, but he established the Supreme on the basis of Vedas. And in this way, he very powerfully drove Buddhism completely beyond India. You see. But now there's another problem. Vedic culture has come back, but only halfway. It's come back in a distorted way. So then the Lord sent a whole lineup of great Vaishnava Acharyas. You see, Ramanacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka. So many great Vaishnava Acharyas, you see, came to defeat Shankara and establish the personal conception, which culminated in the sublime philosophical doctrine of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The Supreme Absolute Truth is simultaneously one, simultaneously inconceivably one and different. So we accept the idea that everything is God, because it's all his energy. Everything is his manifested energy. Everything is coming out from, just like the sun is spread throughout the universe, the sun rays are the sun manifested throughout the universe. But at the same time, the sun ray and the sun planet are different. Just like this morning in my room, it was very nice when the sun rays entered the room. the sun planted it into my room, and it would not have been during night. I wouldn't be here to give the class this morning. You see? I'd be burned to a crisp. So even though the sun ray is the sun, it is also not the sun. So in this way, we are the living entities. We are the rays of God, His expanded energy. We are called separated energy. So in this way, we accept the principle of oneness combined with two-ness. My body, they say, everything is one and the same. We say everything is one and different. This Vaishnava philosophy is very sublime because it enables one to have a loving relationship with the Supreme. The Mayavadi philosophy does not allow one to have a loving relationship with the Supreme. Therefore, what does it give impetus to? Illicit sex. Because if you can't have loving rasa with the Supreme, you can look for it in the material world. You see, our nature is we want rasa. We want loving relationship. If you can't have it with the Supreme, you're going to have it with Maya. That's so. So this Vaishnava philosophy is so very, very, very important thing. We can have loving relationship with the Supreme. Would you like to live in a world without love? It was a pop song like that back when I was a kid. I don't want to live in a world without love, you see. It's a fact, nobody wants to live in a loveless world. Jai Shishi Varagokovananda Rakshmahanaman Makshmahanaman. No one wants to live in a world without love. Therefore, if they have no loving relationships with family members, what do? They keep a dog. Yeah. My dear dog, you see. He comes home in the evening from working hard in the office. He pats his dog on the head. The dog licks his face, you see. Oh, my dog loves me so much, you see. They want loving relationship. Everyone wants loving relationship. But we can never be satisfied until we can have a loving relationship with the Supreme Being. Because we are constitutionally meant for that. Jivera Svarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti. Beda Beda Prakash. We are tatata shakti, marginal energy. We are meant to have that loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because that is our constitutional nature. We're His servants. So, we need help. We have been engrossed in the material nature an uncountable eons of time. Millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions. You can't make a number big enough to calculate how long we've been caught up in this false conception that I'm the Lord and I'm the center of everything. So to get out of it is no easy task if you do it on your own strength. Actually, you'll never do it. You will never do it on your own strength. If we drop you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and say, okay, swim for the shore, you won't make it. There's no way. You'll never make it. You might be able to cross the English Channel, but you're not going to cross the Atlantic Ocean. You won't make it. So on our own strength, it is not possible. It is foolish. It is called Aroha Panta. One tries to make it to spiritual perfection by their own strength. This is the pathway of the jnanis, mental speculators, you see. They can never do. Not possible. Even hundreds and thousands and millions of lifetimes, simply by mental speculation, they can never achieve the supreme perfection. It's not possible. But if one is very fortunate, you see, Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. If one is very fortunate to come in contact with the grace of Krishna, with a bona fide spiritual master, then that bona fide spiritual master very kindly will plant within your heart the seed of bhakti, prema bhakti. And if you were intelligently nurtured, realize, I've been blessed by this seed of bhakti. I've been blessed by this seed of prema bhakti. Now what am I going to do with it? Am I neglect it? Or am I going to cultivate it, you see? If one is intelligent and he receives that seed of prema bhakti within the heart of any bona fide spiritual master, he thinks, let me cultivate this seed. Let me hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Let me protect the garden of my heart. Let me remove all the weeds. What are those weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. Let me get those weeds out of the garden of my heart so my creeper will not be spoiled by those weeds. And what else do you have to do to make sure that creeper grows very nicely? Well, sometimes there's some mad elephants romping through the neighborhood. Poom, poom, poom. Crashing everything under their footsteps. So what do? You make a very strong fence. Very, very solid fence that even an elephant can't break through it, you see. What is that elephant? That is called Vaishnava Parad, to be offensive to Vaishnavas. You say, well, I'm respectful to the deities. But that's not good enough, Prabhu. You have to be respectful to Vaishnavas also, Mataji. You have to be respectful to Vaishnavas. Why? Ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhakta state janaha. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parta na me bhakta state janaha. You're not my devotee. Unless you are the devotee of my devotee, you are not my devotee. So, how much you respect Vaishnavas, that is how Krishna conscious you are. Bas. Don't think otherwise. Those devotees are a bunch of jerks, but I love Krishna. When I see the deities, my eyes tear up. But those devotees are rascals, you see. You're not fixed in Krishna consciousness. That person who loves and respects Vaishnavas, he is actually fixed in Krishna consciousness. He is a real devotee. The one who is the devotee of the devotees, he is the real devotee. So this principle of avoiding Vaishnava Parad doesn't mean I go away to the hills somewhere so I don't offend any devotees staying in the forest. It doesn't mean that. That doesn't work because man is a social animal. Our nature is we want to associate. Even if somebody goes to the forest to meditate, then they want to come and tell everybody what they experienced in the forest. Is it? We all want association. That's a fit. So therefore, we have to associate with devotees. Because if we associate with non-devotees, what does that do? It pulls our minds away from Krishna. That's the result of non-devotee association. It's non-devotee energy sucks your mind away from Krishna. That's why Lord Chaitanya has taught us asat sangha tyag. Give up the association of those who suck your mind away from Krishna. Some may say, but your devotees are going out preaching every day. What do you mean? give up the association. I see you're out on the streets distributing books, chanting the holy names. How are you giving up the association? Someone joins the temple, you send them out all day distributing books. How you can say, avoid the association? I see you're associating with non-devotees all day long. How is that, someone may ask? We go to give association. That is the difference, you see. Not do we go to some cloistered monastery somewhere and forget about the world. No. Devotee, he actively interacts with the non-devotees out of love, out of kindness, to help them. So he doesn't take their association. He gives them his association. He gives them Krishna consciousness. In this way, the devotee becomes glorious. Nachatashman manusheshu kashchid ye kriya krittamaha bhavita nachameta smad anya priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than one who preaches. Nor will there ever be one more dear. Oh, wait a minute. How could, if there's so many devotees that are all dear to Krishna, how one particular devotee could be the most dear? Wouldn't they be equally dear? How Krishna can say the preacher is the most dear of all the devotees? Because there's so many preachers. There's never be anyone more dear than that devotee who preaches. Is it a group thing? Or, I mean, how can it be individual? Because there's so many preachers. Actually, it is individual. Just like in Dwarka, Krishna had so many queens. And with each and every queen, he fully gave himself. He divided himself into 16,108 Krishnas so that each and every queen could exclusively have Krishna to herself. So in the same way, Krishna exclusively gives himself to those devotees who totally give themselves to Krishna. So in this way, the preacher does become the very most dear. Just like every queen was the most dear, had Krishna all to herself, apparently. So Krishna also reciprocates with his preachers in this way. And his devotees who fully surrender unto him. If you give yourself completely to Krishna, Krishna gives himself completely to you. Prabhupada explained it very nicely. That verse, you know, Ananyas chintayantamang yejanapir pasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam baham yaham. Krishna explained very nicely. Prabhupada, I mean, explained very nicely, but Krishna explained very nicely. He said that Krishna, for those who worship Krishna with exclusive devotion, he personally delivers to your door whatever you need. It's practically inconceivable for us in our conditioned state that Krishna could personally come and give me whatever I need. It seems inconceivable, doesn't it? But actually, that's what happened. How it can happen, it's a very mystical thing, but actually, that's what happened. From when he was completely pure in Krishna consciousness, Krishna personally gives him everything. Personally. Whatever, just like Prabhupada, whatever he needed, it came. He wanted to buy the Fisher Mansion immediately. Krishna provided the money for the Fisher Mansion. You see. So if we can just focus on developing pure love for Krishna, make that our only object, our only goal, that I want to become the pure devotee of Krishna. Make that our only aim, our only goal. I have one desire and one desire only, and that is I must become the pure devotee of Krishna. Is it? Then Krishna will reciprocate like anything with that. Unlimitedly he will reciprocate. If we give our hearts completely to him, we will get unlimited reciprocation. beyond our wildest dreams, we'll experience transcendental bliss, transcendental realization, transcendental love, beyond what anything we could ever conceive of in millions and billions of lifetimes, we will experience if we fully surrender to Krishna. So this is a pretty good movement, really. I mean, it's a pretty good movement. This is the ultimate movement for liberating the consciousness from the entanglement within the material energy. There's no movement like this. There's so many spiritual organizations, so many churches, synagogues, mosques, temples. There's nothing like this Krishna consciousness movement, because this is Prabhupada's manifestation. Prabhupada is the greatest Vaishnava Acharya in the history of the universe. He has done what no other Acharya has done. He has presented pure bhakti in such a way that it's practical for everybody in the whole world to take it up. You see, never was the storehouse of love of God so much opened up before, you see. Never before Prabhupada. It was never so widely opened. It was more exclusive previously. But Prabhupada now has made it everyone. Everyone can have elite status as a Chaitanyaite with the mercy of Prabhupada. He's made it very accessible to everyone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving us. I think about where I was before. Oh my God. Where I was before I came to this movement. Such an amazing transformation Prabhupada has done on all of us, actually. Amazing, amazing transformation. So we have to always feel that gratitude to Prabhupada. That attitude of gratitude, that is bhakti. And that attitude of gratitude should be manifested in all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our deeds, 24 hours a day in all places and circumstances. We should always show Prabhupada how much we appreciate what he's done for us, how much he suffered and struggled to establish this movement, and how much sacrifice and struggle he inspired those devotees to do also. It's just amazing. We think about the great sacrifices that were made to establish the Krishna consciousness movement here in the UK, for example. I've read those books, the various books describe it. It's amazing sacrifice the devotees made. It was so difficult. Just to have a place to live, just to have a place to take a shower. I mean, everything was so difficult for them, but they did all austerities and penances. Why? Because they loved Prabhupada. They loved Prabhupada. And they wanted to please him, you see. So, Prabhupada, not only Srila Prabhupada, but the followers of Prabhupada. And it's still going on every day. So many devotees are making so many sacrifices of their personal comforts, doing what they would not like to do, but doing it because it pleases Srila Prabhupada. The more we can please this great, great Vaishnava Acharya, the more we become glorious. Actually, it's interesting. Vishnu Janaswami, he told me that one time Prabhupada said, "You always say all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious?" Because that actually is the best glorification. You see, that's the best glorification of the spiritual master. If the disciple becomes glorious, what is it saying? You can judge a tree by its fruit. So if I'm a rotten fruit, what does it say about my spiritual master? It doesn't glorify him very nicely, you see. But if I can become glorious in Krishna consciousness, I can become pure-hearted devotee of the Lord, always radiantly broadcasting the glories of the Lord, you see, by my thoughts, words, and deeds in all times, places, and circumstances, that is the best glorification of the spiritual master. So we should all try to become first-class representatives of Guru and Krishna. That's the best service. You see. I just heard a wonderful quote that came through from the... I have on this book distribution nectar mailing list. Really some sweet nectar comes through that one. Prabhupada was saying that if you love someone and you want to broadcast their glories, you see. So this is a sign of love. I really love you, then I want to broadcast your glories, you see. If I really love my spiritual master, I want to tell everybody about my spiritual master. If I really love Krishna, I want to tell everybody about Krishna. This is a sign of love. The desire to broadcast the glories of that person. That's the real manifestation of love. So this is a wonderful opportunity that Prabhupada has given us by engaging us in the Sankirtan Yajna. Say, well, I don't have any love. How can I broadcast? It's artificial. I don't feel the love, so how can I broadcast? Wouldn't that be hypocritical? It's an interesting story in this connection. My godbrother Gargamuni Prabhu, when he was a young, he just joined. He was a hippie boy, Greg Scharf. He was attending his brother Bruce, also Brahma, who became Brahmananda. He had just joined. He convinced his brother to drop out of school and come join the temple. Greg. Of course, they were different. They all had long hair under their shoulders. It was a different atmosphere in those days in the temple. But anyway, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights, Prabhupada would come, or Swamiji, as he was known then, would come down for the Bhagavad Gita class, you see. So, what do you do when the spiritual master enters? Immediately you offer your obeisances. So they were doing that. The devotees learned. But Greg, he thought, well, I'm a natural man. Doesn't feel natural for me. I won't bow down. So in the questions and answers after the lecture, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I do not bow down because it doesn't feel natural for me. Is that okay? Prabhupada said, you should bow down because by doing so, the natural feeling will come. So what if I don't feel like going on Harinam? I don't feel like going on book distribution. I don't feel like offering an arati or cooking an offering. Do it anyway. You see, do it anyway. It's your duty. You see, we're on the level of Vaidya Bhakti. We're not on the level of Raga Bhakti. That we're doing everything spontaneously, you see. Do it as a duty. That is Vaidya Bhakti. I do it as a duty, knowing that by doing this duty, that I will get the supreme reward, the supreme paycheck of developing the natural feeling for that thing. The jaundiced patient is told by the physician, you must, my dear patient, take sugar candy because sugar candy will cure your jaundice. But doctor, it tastes so terrible in my jaundiced state. I just want to spit it out. It's so bitter I can't stand it. No, you must take it by force. Put it in your mouth and don't spit it out. You see. Take that sugar candy. You see. And by so doing, you'll become cured and the natural sweetness will come. So maybe I don't feel like getting up for Mangal Arati. I just want to sleep. You see. But get up for Mangal Arati. You see. Take up these activities, you see, of Krishna consciousness. Embrace them as your life and soul. The order of my spiritual master is my life and soul. Embrace that principle in your heart. Even if it doesn't quite seem natural, do it. And you'll have the supreme benefit, and gradually you'll realize, hey, this is actually me. I'm actually a devotee. I'm not a sense enjoyer. I thought I was a sense enjoyer for millions of lifetimes. As a demigod, as a dog, as a hog. I thought that was me, but actually it was just an illusion. I was just dreaming over those things. Actually, I'm Krishna's pure devotee. I just forgot. But by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, thank God, I realize I'm actually a devotee. That's me. Jivera Sarupahoi Krishnara Nityadas is not an empty slogan. It's actually me. I am a devotee. Hari Bol. Is it? That one, it begins to feel natural. Yes, it's so sweet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare. Let me simply dive deeper and deeper. Do you know how much nectar is there in the Hare Krishna mantra? Does anybody know how much nectar is there in the Hare Krishna mantra? Actually, no one knows. Because Rupa Goswami also doesn't know. That's how much nectar there is. There's so much nectar that even Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who's the father of devotional service, even he doesn't know how much nectar is there. As confirmed in the Vidagdha Madhava. Tunde tandavati and tunde tandavali vating vidinate tundavali labdiye. Karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunarvyade braspiham. Cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam pritim. No jane janita kriyadbiramitai krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter those syllables Krishna, it's not just something vibrating in my tongue. Krishna is dancing in my mouth. And there's so much nectar oozing from Krishna that my one little mouth just can't contain it all. Therefore, if I could just have millions of mouths, then I might be able to catch at least a little bit more of that nectar oozing from Krishna. And when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar that I need to have millions and billions and trillions of years to capture at least a little bit more of that nectar that's coming from Krishna. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So there's a lot of nectar out there. Prabhus and Matajis, Maharajas, there's a lot of nectar out there. As they used to say in the gold rush days in the U.S., there's gold in Thumbar Hills. Everybody was heading west, you see. So there's a lot of nectar in Thumbar names. They had the gold rush, now we're going to have the Harinama rush. Get a rush from the Harinama rush. It's a fact. There's unlimited nectar in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So maybe some of you have some questions. I can try to answer them.